Hey, everybody. What does Lyndon Baines Johnson and Lance Armstrong have in common with voter fraud? We dive into that and so much more on this incredibly important episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. We take a historical and current analysis of voter fraud, and we dive deep into how the Democrat Party operates when it comes to stealing elections. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. We are here with the answers, the information, thanks to your support. I want to thank you guys so much for getting behind us. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Did you know your family can save over $800 a year just by switching to PureTalk from Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile? Think about it. What could your family do with an extra $800? You don't even have to sacrifice coverage. PureTalk has the same coverage, same bars as those big carriers, but they charge you half. You definitely don't have to sacrifice customer service. Their team is based right here in the United States, and they're some of the nicest people you'll ever talk to. Don't wait. Switch today. You can even keep your phone and your number or choose from a massive selection of the latest iPhones and Androids. Get unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data for just $20 a month. And if you go over on data usage, they don't charge you for it. Grab your mobile phone, dial #250, and say, Charlie Kirk. That's it. When you do, you'll save 50% off your first month. Dial #250 and say keyword Charlie Kirk. Pure Talk is simply smarter wireless. I remember growing up, there was someone that was considered to be a hero. I had a big poster of him actually in my room. Everyone that I knew wore his bracelets. He was considered to be one of the best athletes of all time. Lance Armstrong. He won 7 consecutive Tour de France, which, of course, is a cycling competition, a road racing cyclist. Very fun to watch. Always happened over the summers in France from 1999 to 2005. A lot of people were suspicious after the 3rd, 4th, and 5th victory by Lance Armstrong of whether or not he was cheating, whether or not he was doping. Lance Armstrong was a spokesperson for what was called the Live Strong Foundation, or the Lance Armstrong Foundation. Raised hundreds of millions of dollars to try and defeat cancer. In 1996, prior to all of his victories, he was diagnosed with metastatic testicular cancer. And so Lance Armstrong built a whole movement. And he was considered to be the top of all athletics. Of course, it came out many years later, and many people in my generation don't know this. They didn't live through how big of a deal the Armstrong movement was. They didn't live through how much following, how much power that Lance Armstrong had. But then a couple whistleblowers started to come out, and at first he denied it, which was then followed by a massive Department of Justice inquiry, which then concluded with Lance Armstrong admitting to this, that he didn't just cheat a little bit. He perfected the cheating. That Lance Armstrong didn't just dope every once in a while. He became an expert. In fact, he had it down to such a science that the Tour de France, which goes many different days, it goes actually for about 20 to 30 days. He would actually have it where in the evenings he would have a separate room where he would have what could best be described as blood transfusions of steroids given to him, undetectable by drug tests, undetectable by any sort of methodology that was being used at the time. And Lance Armstrong denied all these allegations when they first came out. And, of course, we now know that every single one of Lance Armstrong's victories was a fraud. I use this example intentionally because Lance Armstrong might have been called the winner. Lance Armstrong might have been given all the medals. Lance Armstrong might have been given all the glory and the inauguration of being called the best cyclist in world history. But the truth eventually prevailed. And they took away all of his titles, and they took away all of his victories. Lance Armstrong no longer gets thought of as a victor. Instead, he gets known as a cheater. And I think that whether it's now, tomorrow, next week, a month, 3 months, 3 years, or 10 years from now, that truth will expose what has happened in this election. The same people that were asking the questions to Lance Armstrong, how is it possible you won 7 Tour de France's? 7 in a row? The most ever consecutively? And he just said, oh, it's because of my training. It's because I work harder than other people. People bought it. And now people that are asking questions, how is it that Joe Biden was able to do better in just the 4 select cities, but as soon as you draw the county lines, he did worse than Hillary Clinton did in 2016? How's that possible? And just because Lance Armstrong crossed that line filled with performance-enhancing drugs and cheated does not mean that he was the winner. It means that in that moment, he was called the winner. But eventually, the truth prevailed. And that's exactly why we must stay on top of this story, and we have many updates surrounding that. I've heard numerous pundits and prognosticators say that voter fraud does not exist, most of which are members of the Democrat establishment activist media. But every time they say that, they are refusing to acknowledge real American history. So we've talked about the Mayor Daley 1960 election in Chicago with JFK versus Richard Nixon, documented voter fraud. But we haven't talked really about the author, the architect of the modern Democrat Party. This man has impacted the Democrat Party more so than any other politician in the 20th century, even to date. I can make an argument he had more of an impact on how the Democrat Party operates than even FDR. He was a ruthless politician, and he was a objectively really bad human being. He was a bitter racist. He wanted absolute power. He was unafraid to do whatever it took to get it. Put simply and plainly, he was a thug. I'm talking about Lyndon Baines Johnson. You see, Lyndon Baines Johnson was a failing politician in Texas. He lost many races. He lost some narrowly. But LBJ wanted power. It obsessed him. It became his primary possession. He almost had a pathological focus on assuming power in Texas. There's a great actual doctoral dissertation that was written on this by a guy named Jason Matheson, which goes through the critical history of the racist Lyndon Baines Johnson. Now, we also remember once LBJ became president, he gave us the Great Society, which all but destroyed the black community in our country. He gave us government welfare, housing, urban development, multi-trillions of dollars going into the inner cities that destroyed the backbone of the black family. But a specific part of LBJ's life is critical for us to focus on because the playbook that LBJ implemented in his 1948 election against Coke Stevenson is exactly what the Democrats have done today. They learned, perfected, and repeated the acts of Lyndon Baines Johnson. LBJ was running against Coke Stevenson in a primary race in Texas. Johnson prepared for a very close race. He had lost close races before. And after the official results were announced on Thursday, a conspiracy all of a sudden began. I'm reading from an academic paper, by the way. Early on Friday, September 3rd, election officials in a little southern Mexican-American town dominated by George Parr, who at one point was a Coke Stevenson ally, announced that the election returns they released earlier in the week were incorrect. Officials in Alice said they found an additional 203 ballots in box 13. Of the 203 ballots, 202 of them were for Lyndon Baines Johnson, leaving only one for Coke Stevenson. Officials from another Parr-dominated county also conveniently announced that they had some ballots that were not included in their tally earlier in the week. After these votes had been counted, Lyndon Baines Johnson had 87 more votes than Coke Stevenson, with a final tally of 494,191 to 494,104. Of course, this sudden voting change was no accident. This then gets tied up in the courts, gets kicked down to the Central Committee. Lyndon Baines Johnson thoroughly goes through extortion politics, blackmail, intimidation. The Central Committee then votes 29-28 to make Lyndon Baines Johnson the nominee in this race, which ended up catapulting LBJ to the national stage. The deciding vote was made by Charlie Gibson, a drunk committee member who rushed in at the last minute by Johnson supporters. Coke Stevenson was incensed. He launched investigation after investigation. However, by the time that the investigations finally gained some sort of support, evidence started to disappear, witnesses moved, and boxes were burned. Duval County, for example, saw 99.4% of its ballots go for Lyndon Baines Johnson. Sound familiar? Quite bizarre was also the fact that the final 203 names on the Jim Wells County Box 13 tally sheet were in a different color of ink and in a different handwriting than the previous 1,000 in Jim Wells County. Strangely, they were also in alphabetical order, like someone had just gone down the poll tax sheet and copied the names down. Of the 203 last-minute voters in Box 13, only 11 were located and questioned. All said they had not even voted. Harry Truman then did a whistle-stop tour throughout the state of Texas. LBJ met with Truman, similar to the Bill Clinton-Loretta Lynch tarmac meeting at Phoenix Airport. We don't know what was discussed, but conveniently after that decision, LBJ started to raise money for Harry Truman's political candidacy, and Hugo Black, who was the Alabama senator who had no judicial background whatsoever, was appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court and upheld LBJ's race in Texas as the Dixiecrat Coke Stevenson continued to appeal it. Now, most chillingly, Johnson never admitted wrongdoing in this election. He didn't need to admit anything. We knew what happened. But years later, long after Johnson was president, Johnson was interviewed about this. And Johnson was being interviewed by a man named Ronnie Duggar. Johnson shocked Duggar by showing him a picture of the Jim Wells County officials smiling and holding the Precinct 13 ballot box. When Duggar asked him what it meant and how Lyndon Baines Johnson had received it, LBJ said nothing and just grinned. A few years later, Ronnie Duggar interviewed a man named Luis Salas Apar, the head official at Precinct 13 in 1948. Salas admitted the late returns were fraudulent. Then Duggar was shocked when Salas pulled out a photograph, the same photograph LBJ had showed him a few years earlier. LBJ gets called jokingly in Texas, "Landslide Lyndon," as sarcasm, trying to make light of the fact that LBJ stole this primary election. And what was it that LBJ did? Delayed the vote counting. Went to counties he knew he controlled. Got just enough votes to get him across the finish line. Destroyed the evidence. Suppressed the witnesses. Won in the courts. But eventually the truth came out. LBJ changed the Democrat Party forever. He changed it by making the Democrat Party one that advocates permanent government addiction, one that values power over everything. And he also changed it by teaching the methods, the practices of how to steal an election. And that's exactly the party that we're experiencing now, the party of LBJ. Each episode of The American Story aims to reveal a small piece of the truth about what makes America beautiful, good and worthy of love. From our country's beginning, from sea to shining sea, stories about America, about the big things and little things we share as a people, inspire us to be more devoted to our country, connect us with those who have come before us, and help us be better friends with our fellow Americans. These are stories of pioneers, presidents, athletes, neighbors, artists, veterans, inventors, natives, and immigrants. Americans whose aspirations, sufferings, achievements, and sacrifices are woven into the fabric of our country. The American Story is a weekly podcast that tells the stories of the men and women who answer with their lives. Every generation, the defining question is, how should we live? It is their answer to this question that have made America beautiful and worthy of love. It is our answers that will keep it that way. Listen to The American Story for free on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. To learn more about The American Story, visit theamericanstorypodcast.org. Theamericanstorypodcast.org. The great Senator Rand Paul has been having the president's back in this fight for election integrity. Senator Rand Paul tweeted, "Interesting, Trump's margin of defeat," in quotes, "in four states occurred in four data dumps between 1:34 and 6:31 a.m. Statistical anomaly? Fraud? Look at the evidence and decide for yourself." That is if big tech allows you to read this. And what's so funny about this is that Twitter then flags the tweet as, "This claim about election fraud is disputed." I would love to see how Twitter would operate back during the times of Galileo. Galileo would tweet out, the Earth revolves around the sun. This claim about the heliocentric theory of the universe is disputed. Love to see Twitter exist in the times of Galileo. We could go on of all the great movements of contrarianism that built our world. When all of a sudden you're challenging the orthodoxy, there's been plenty of examples of people in power that have decided that what you're saying should not be said. It ends up being true. Just ask Socrates. Oh, wait, they killed him. Kyle Griffin, who responds on Twitter, "This is dangerous and irresponsible. There's no evidence of fraud. The senator spreading lies and misinformation to cast a doubt over a clear and fair, honest win by Joe Biden. Basically, sit down and shut up." According to the vote pattern analysis of the 8,954 vote updates and used in the analysis, these four decisive updates were the first, second, fourth, and seventh most anomalous updates in the entire data set. Not only does each one of these vote updates not follow the generally observed pattern, but the anomalous behavior of these updates is particularly extreme. That is, these votes updates are the outliers of the outliers. The four updates in question are, number one, an update in Michigan listed as of 6:31 a.m. Eastern Time on November 4th, which shows 141,528 votes for Biden and 5,968 votes for Trump. Sounds like Jim Wells County, doesn't it? Sounds like Lyndon Baines Johnson stuff. An update in Wisconsin listed at 3:42 Central Time on November 4th, 2020, which shows 143,000 votes for Biden and 25,163 votes for Trump. Or a vote in Georgia listed as 1:34 a.m. Eastern Time on November 4th, which shows 136,155 votes for Biden and 29,000 for Trump. Or in Michigan at 3:50 a.m., 54,000 votes for Biden, 4,700 for Trump. And if you look at the vote pattern analysis, you can see for yourself that none of this is consistent with logic, with reason. And you dive deeper into the actual pattern of analysis, it looks clear that the pattern of which this data was actually distributed looks very much inauthentic, looks inorganic, it looks very artificial. Senator Rand Paul is saying exactly what we have been talking about on this program for almost a month now, that the quantitative analysis of all the data surrounding this election points to artificial influences, especially towards the end of the election. Very similar to how LBJ was down a certain amount in Jim Wells County and he finds ballot box 13. The same thing happened in Georgia. Joe Biden was down. We called the election for Georgia. We did it on the live stream. We were told there were no more ballots remaining. Trump's going to buy 8,000. And we found ballot box Stacey Abrams. And ballot box Stacey Abrams just came running in the same way that the election fraudsters did in 1948 in Jim Wells County, the same way that there were people that were counting the votes, the same way that we're in the election infrastructure. A guy by the name of George Parr, no different than that. Stacey Abrams and Brad Raffensperger conspired together to all of a sudden find the necessary ballots that were needed. Why did we stop counting ballots in Georgia? They told us that there was a leak. They told us that a water pipe burst, when in reality, it was a singular urinal that was plugged in a bathroom. Why did that happen? Who told them to do that? Well, no different than LBJ in 1948. The party of LBJ has learned how to cheat. And now it's time we learn how to expose it. There's a direct connection between the Chinese coronavirus and how we handled it, which we mishandled it. We locked down our country. We locked down our country for far too long. We should have never done it at all. But we locked down our country, destroyed millions of people's lives, hundreds of thousands of small businesses, kids that committed suicide that will never obviously have futures, rise in alcoholism, drug use, social isolation, sexual and domestic abuse. All of that is thanks to lockdown politicians and both political parties. By the way, this is not a right versus left thing. I wish it was. Republicans are probably less likely to lock down their states because they don't want a revolt on their hands. But when Republicans are representing blue states, they are just as quickly to lock down their states. Larry Hogan and Charlie Baker, for example. And one of the through lines of the Chinese coronavirus was how we as citizens were not allowed to ask questions, that anyone that dared disagree with the status quo or the conventional orthodoxy, we were suppressed, kick off social media, and basically blacklisted. I sent out a tweet the other day. It's actually one of my best performing tweets the last couple months, is where I just asked a question. I said, whatever happened to that national conversation we were having around hydroxychloroquine? Again, I'm not going to get into the effects of hydroxychloroquine. Just so everyone's clear, though, I take hydroxychloroquine as a prophylactic. I have not yet had the Chinese coronavirus, and I'm doing just fine. I'm not saying that's not scientific proof that it will work for you. I'm just saying I use it. It works for me. And I do know that my family, my friends that I've given it to that have had the Chinese coronavirus, they all have done very well. So take that for whatever it's worth. However, we were having this very spirited conversation around hydroxychloroquine. There were doctors that were coming out and saying that it was working. And then all these studies came out that have now been retracted, by the way. All of them retracted, saying that hydroxychloroquine didn't work. And the doctors that were coming out and saying these studies are flawed, kicked off social media, and completely and totally suppressed. Sit down and shut up, citizen. We know what's best for you. Stay locked down indefinitely. Wait for the vaccine. We're going to make you take the vaccine, even though it might not work. We're in charge. You're not. You're our subjects. And that might work under a European governmental construct, but in an American governmental construct, the rulers work for us. The government is there to preserve our freedom. There's this beautiful scene in Braveheart, one of my favorite movies, which is why we have the Scottish bagpipes here so often. It's a beautiful scene in Braveheart when Mel Gibson is playing William Wallace, goes into this meeting of these corrupt Scottish nobles who are filled with cowardice and no conviction. And William Wallace says, and it's documented that William Wallace did say something similar to this in a meeting like this. He said, "You guys think that the Scottish people are there to serve you. I think you're here to serve the Scottish people." And basically the argument he was making in literally year 1300, 700 years ago, is the argument that built Western civilization and built the United States of America. That the rulers, the leaders, the people in charge are there to protect the people's freedom. The people are not there to protect the luxury of the nobles or of the privileged class. And so what we saw throughout the Chinese coronavirus and the lockdowns that ensued is a pattern of suppressing dissent, of attacking anyone that dare contribute facts or contribute data to the conversation that might be contrarian. Dr. Anthony Fauci is the worst among all of these people. Dr. Anthony Fauci is a liar. Dr. Anthony Fauci has been wrong about everything, and he ruined millions of people's lives because he is a political scientist. He is not a scientist. He's a political scientist. People say he's the leading epidemiological expert. What has he been right about this entire 9-month saga? Been wrong about masks, or at least let's say he's been inconsistent on masks. He's been wrong on death rates, hospitalization rates, case rates, schools opening, schools closures. And Senator Rand Paul tweeted out that Dr. Anthony Fauci needs to apologize to every single parent and school-aged child in America where he locked them down indefinitely. The Federalist came out, great article by Joy Pullman, stuck in online schooling, the United States kids are failing more classes than ever and will never recover. The United States has reached a tipping point. The damage done to school children with scarce resources is likely to be irreparable. And the picture that is shared here is a teacher who has a mask on doing a Zoom or Skype call. Why do you have to wear a mask if you're doing a Zoom or Skype call? It's just like these people that I see driving in Scottsdale. They're wearing a mask and they're the only people in the car. Now, maybe they're an Uber driver and they're just getting used to it. Or maybe they've been so socially conditioned that they are now saying, I must do what I'm told. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to wear the mask when I shower. I'm going to wear the mask when I go to bed. It's just like when Deborah Birx Skypes into the Sunday shows with a massive mask on her face. These people are contributing to the intentional downfall, destruction, and disintegration of our country. And so now we know that poor kids are suffering because of online learning. Everything we warned about on this program is now coming through. And it's Republican governors that allowed this to happen. The Democrat governors, we know the Democrats want the destruction of the country. That's nothing new. St. Paul, Minnesota reported recently that 40% of high school students are failing. Quote, about double what we might expect in a typical year, said the large district superintendent. It's even worse for younger children. In Houston, Texas, the superintendent says 42% of students failed two or more classes this fall, up from 11% in a typical year. In Alabama, 5,000 children have never even shown up for class this year. If you wanted to increase the government dependency class, if you wanted to increase the prison population, if you wanted to create permanent income and wealth inequality, these closure of schools was a wonderful idea for you. If you were sitting in a room and you were America's adversaries and you were trying to think of ways that you could destroy the country, the United States of America, school closures would probably be at the top of your list. We will now have generations of unnecessary pain and suffering because of this lockdown epidemic. Hispanic children are suffering more than any other racial group. F's are up 92% amongst Hispanic children. This is Hannah Natanson. And they're underperforming in English and math by large margins, 42% in math and 47% in English. So let me tell you exactly what's going to happen here, okay? The Democrat demagogues and the racial-focused leftists are now going to use all of this data. They are now going to use all of this data and say, you see, this is why we need more money for our public sector teacher unions. This is why we need reparations, because look how bad Black and Hispanic kids are doing. When in reality, all they had to do was keep the schools open. So this is part of the Hegelian dialectic, where you create a problem intentionally, and then you see the harm, the suffering. People then go back to the state saying, oh my goodness, look at this huge problem. What do I do? And they say, oh, don't worry, we have a solution to that problem that we created. We're never going to take responsibility for creating that problem, but give us more power, give us more authority, and we'll make the problem a little bit better. When in reality, they'll just create another problem. This is the old Rahm Emanuel saying of never let a good crisis go to waste. And these kids in the inner cities, they don't have too much room to fail. Their schools are already absolute trash because of public sector teacher unions, and they already can't read or add or subtract. So I'm going to predict this right now. And this clip right here will unfortunately and tragically be proven correct. That 5 to 10 years from now, you'll see a spike in the prison population, a spike in kids that are doing pharmaceutical antidepressants, and people are going to be searching for answers. And the only answer will be the 2020 lockdown and the consequences that ensued because of it. It was preventable. Now, a lot of parents have been pushing back against these lockdowns. But what parent do you think is more likely to get their way? The parent that has the 20,000 square foot house in Beverly Hills, or the mom that has a 600 square foot apartment with a single child and can barely make enough money to survive? Who's going to have a bigger voice at the school board meeting? Well, the person that has this 20,000 square foot house in Beverly Hills is probably sending their kids to private school. And guess what? The private schools are completely open. And yet Bill de Blasio shuts down all the schools. He just decided to reopen them because he has received so much backlash. Has the science changed? Mr. Wilhelm, Bill de Blasio's name is Wilhelm, doesn't like that name. I wonder why. I could make a guess. Probably too close to home for him, considering his authoritarian tendencies. But Bill de Blasio has destroyed hundreds of thousands of Black and Hispanic people's lives. It'll take generations for us to recover from this. Upper middle class kids in New York City and Manhattan, they're in the Hamptons, they're in Greenwich, Connecticut. Their parents got them out of the city a long time ago. They have tutors, they have helpers, they're going to be just fine. And just a reminder, more people died from suicide in Japan in October than from the Chinese coronavirus in the entirety of 2020, and they will not publish the suicide data in many of these states. I wonder why. I can't find accurate suicide data in most of these states. We know that more young people committed suicide in California than died from the Chinese coronavirus. We know that. And also, someone very close to me, her grandmother unfortunately passed away a couple months ago. She died of Alzheimer's. What did it say on the death certificate? COVID-19. How do you explain that one? I have a personal experience of someone in my life who we know why she died, and yet it said on the death certificate, COVID-19. When it was asked, they said, oh, she tested positive for COVID at the autopsy. So now that counts as a COVID death. Really? So now we are intentionally destroying working people's lives with this unscientific lockdown strategy, all because they're saying you can't ask questions. I think you know exactly where this leads. Has this election cycle gotten you stressed out, worn down? If so, time to bounce back. What's the number one mineral to fight stress and fatigue? Magnesium. I want you to try a new dietary supplement, a veggie capsules of me called Magnesium Breakthrough from my friends of the show, by Optimizers. This is the magnesium supplement I recommend because it combines all seven essential forms of magnesium into one convenient daily dosage. Most magnesium supplements fail because they are not full spectrum. When you get all seven critical forms of magnesium, so many functions in your body can get upgraded. The supplements are designed to enhance focus, sleep, reduce inflammation, improve your body's reaction to stress. So check out Magnesium Breakthrough with me. Take two pills a day with your evening meal and reverse magnesium deficiency in all of its forms. I take magnesium every night and you should too. Use promo code KIRK10 for 10% off any order. Go to buyoptimizers.com/KIRK. That's buyoptimizers.com/KIRK. Promo code KIRK10 to apply the discount. 2020 has been a year that none of us anticipated or expected. And I think that one of the things that has happened this year is just the completion of a trend that we have been warning about for many years, which is the suppression of freedom of speech. Now, this was primarily confined to college campuses. We warned on this program and the work that we're doing, the important work we're doing at Turning Point USA, that whatever happens on college campuses will soon happen in corporate boardrooms and the halls of Congress and all across the country. But the suppression of free speech and the suppression of different ideas, when you can't tolerate Charles Murray that comes to your campus, you can't tolerate any one of our speakers at Turning Point USA, Candace Owens, myself, when we go to campuses, if you can't tolerate that, and you just start screaming and you go into an apoplectic rage session, then all of a sudden those people start to graduate college. They might have children, even though they don't value children as something that is necessary because they don't teach that in the university. But basically, when you have the death of speech, you then have the death of questioning. The kind of founder of skepticism as a school of thought was a man named David Hume, good Scotsman. And he came up with the idea of being very rational, very reasoned. He didn't come up with it. There were skeptics before him, but he kind of instituted this idea of being alert and being aware and skeptical and questioning. And I think that we can call 2020 the assassination of skepticism in our country. Do not question is what we have been told. It's not that stop saying it happened. It's just stop asking the question. don't question Dane County voter turnout being higher than Barack Obama, despite University of Wisconsin-Madison being closed. Do not question that Joe Biden won less counties than Obama, by far, yet somehow got 80 million votes. Don't question that 27 out of 27 toss-ups went to Republicans, but Trump somehow lost. Do not question the water pipe burst, but there's no record of a work order. Don't question that hydroxychloroquine is somehow a killer drug. Don't question us when we say church is not essential and strip clubs aren't. Do not question us when we start arresting pastors or mothers in the parks. Do not question when Democrats go out to eat at French Laundry but tell you can't have Thanksgiving. Do not question when the vaccine trial results get pushed back until 3 days after the election. Do not question when Fauci tells you to wear a mask but then doesn't wear one at the Nationals game. Do not question us when they tell you that in-person voting isn't safe, but terrorists are able to riot in the streets. The Los Angeles Lakers celebrations are allowed to happen, and BLM Incorporated is allowed to do whatever we want. Don't question any of that. Instead, sit down and shut up. Instead, put on a mask, muffle yourself, literally. Don't send your kids to school, and obey. So 2020, you are seeing the march of the authoritarians. The authoritarians that couldn't have dreamed of having this much power are now in charge. They're in charge of, I put this in quotes, science. They're in charge of the universities. They're in charge of the streams of communication. They're in charge of the civil service. They're in charge of the FBI. They're in charge of the Department of Justice. And all this stems from people that have tolerated political correctness, which was the beginning of the death of free speech. Political correctness is just a suffocating tool that then spread like an epidemic across the country. Donald Trump attacked political correctness, and he was rewarded wonderfully politically both in 2016 and 2020. Obey. And so now we have a landscape where everything they have been telling us is a lie. The institutions that have been built that we're supposed to trust have collapsed. And the question is, will people now seek to aggressively reclaim our freedom, to question the people in charge, to call out their hypocrisy, to never trust them again? Or are we going to be a country where you're driving alone on the expressway and you're wearing a mask because someone told you to do that? That's the question for our civilization in the month that remains in 2020 and the critical year of 2021. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win America's culture war, then go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. If you want to join us in Palm Beach, it's tpusa.com/SAS. Email us your questions always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless you. Speak to you soon.